Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad, the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. KMLawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30. Caps hockey on the station tonight. A huge Caps game against the Red Wings, who they're chasing in the playoff hunt. We'll get you a power play later on. Adam Peters was on the show. He said that the Commanders will not be encountering a big spending spree coming up in free agency, even though they've got more money than anybody else to spend. Quote, it's not going to be a big spending spree. That's what he told us right here on G&D. We're not going to go out and blow all that money in year one. We're going to build a competitive team with the right types of guys, then have a great draft after that. I do think that they're going to still make some splashes. I think that maybe this is being overstated a little bit. This anti-spending spree rhetoric becomes that you're not going to spend money. And I think a lot of us are just nervous that it's going to look like the last few years where they basically just tried to find some former Panthers that they could yeah. spend $3 million on.
Right. I mean,
I'm so beaten by that. It's like,
I get it.
Even if you tried to pat my head or pet me, Danny, I'd be like, no, please, don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, which former Atlanta Falcon does Dan Quinn want now? I'm just so stressed about that. But I think they're going to actually add talent and football players who can like do football things.
Well, to me, the principle, if you told me on paper, previous regime, and really to a degree, Bruce was pretty spendthrifty also. But if you tell me on paper, we're going to try to find smart free agents that are good value to help the franchise, I go, oh, yeah, I want to do it that way. But then when Ron and all the Martys do it, it's like, hey, does that guy have a Charlotte area code? Pick him up. That's the difference, right? Is they went and got guys that shouldn't have gotten. Like, this group isn't going to just do, as you said, a couple of Atlanta leftovers from when Dan Quinn was there a handful of years ago. Like, not just buddies from a different space, right?
Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, what do you make of what Peters told us?
Well, one thing I think we need to recognize first, the general manager of the local football team came on the Grant and Danny Show and discussed football.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
You guys are kind of glossing over that.
You're right about that, Chris.
Not only that, if I may, Chris, he called us Grant and Danny.
Grant and Danny.
Yeah.
That's a big part.
Not Grant and Dave.
Nothing.
And he didn't talk about the homecoming or some other nonsense. So that was refreshing. That's a win, right? I think I'm good. I'm good for the rest of the year. Yeah.
Our bar's so low, by the way, that we're like, he used our names and he didn't mention giving out turkeys.
I thought about hitting the brakes on everything to tell him about Grant and Dave right after he said
Grant
and Danny.
We had too much to get in.
But we had 14 minutes and 800 questions, so I just let it ride. But hopefully there's a time he's back on the show in the near future where we can regale him with that tale.
Listen, Grant, you've always said this. It's one thing I agree with you about is that you have to respect the process. And if this is his process, we just hired this guy. We haven't had our legitimate general manager who was Charlie Casserly. Let's respect this man's process. I think that there's going to be some happy medium between spending lavishly and sparking up, Redskins one like Dan Snyder used to do.
Right.
And winning the offseason.
Do you agree with me that they'll add a handful of starter caliber, maybe not five new starters, but, three legit starters and a couple other guys that are going to compete for a job?
Yes, but they're not going to add names just to add names and to make fans happy and to buy and to sell season tickets. They're going to sign guys that they think they can contribute now and for the long term.
Sure, and they should do it that way. But for the record, I would just suggest that that's what they've been doing for a long time. Like, even the reference of Redskins 1, and I'm not pushing back against Chris specifically, but you see this all the time. It's mm-hmm. this kind of lazy media trope. That was 22 years ago. The $100 million spending spree that everyone overtalks about was in the year 2000. That was 24 years ago. The Albert Haynesworth contract, when he got $100 million, I don't know, what year was that, like 06?
It was a Shanner
maybe
deal,
it was later,
so 08, 09 probably, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, really, since 2010, when Shanahan got here and Bruce Allen, who was cheaper than your uncle who won't give you $5 if you're at a restaurant, since then, it's basically a decade plus, 14 years, they've not been a free-wielding, high-spending team. It's just an antiquated way of viewing them. It's like when my sister, to this day, we'll get together for Easter at my mom's house. All right, we'll be at my mother's house at Easter. Mm-hmm. And if it comes up, like we're playing a board game or everyone's competing or there's an Easter egg hunt or something, she will say something like, "Everyone watch Grant. You know he takes these things too seriously." Because like when I was 10, I cared about winning the Easter egg hunt. So now here I am, a father of two with a home and cars and mortgage, and I'm 36 and fat and I don't care about anything except the Capitals making the playoffs. And like, her notion, I'm 12 again. She's like, "He's going to tackle you if you pick up that egg." Like, no, relax. That was 2000. That's when they spent their $100 million.
Firstly, you're father of three. Second of all.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't want any kind of issues later.
Poor McKinley.
Yeah, just call a little shrapnel there. You do have three. Second of all, that's very relatable, by the way. The I was that way when I was a kid, branding. Yeah. My sister still pulls similar stuff out.
My sister loves doing that. By the way, that is sneaky terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, poor McKinley.
No, you were just going fast. You're on a roll. You're doing bits. But I wanted there to be make sure there was a correction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Robert in Arlington. Hello, Robert.
Robert.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, buddy.
Hey, look, I would go with Peters. My guess is, this is just my guess, he's going to trade down. I think you're going to get a lot more picks in this draft than you think. And I think that's one of the things that they're – I mean, if it word came out that the Vikings were trying to trade up with New England and giving up all these picks, we have a much better pick. And so I think that's one thing that I think people maybe not considering. I think the other thing is, there's only 28 players signed for next year. So they still have to – they have to sign like 23 more players just to fill out a roster. So they can't afford to go out and spend $40 or $50 million on two or three players, because even with the draft picks, they're not going to have enough guys to fill up the lockers.
Fair. Here's the only problem with that. When you say $40 or $50 million on a couple of players, that's not how the cap works or money works.
I mean, it could if they do it poorly.
Well, if you sign guys to one-year deal or you franchise tag. Like, if you were to franchise tag Cam Curl, which – he told us they were not doing. And
that's a quarter of their space. Come on.
I don't think any that was ever on the table. That's $17 million for this season, all of it against the cap. If you were to sign Kirk Cousins, as an example, for 1 year and $45 million fully guaranteed, that's $45 million. But if you're going to do what I want, which is like go get Bryce Huff, the pass rusher from the Jets, and you give him 4 years, and I'm just going to say $72 million. Okay, so an $18 million AAV. His cap number this year probably isn't $18 million. Now, it should be. You should front load it because of your current cap situation. Yep. But his cap year number this year might actually be like $9 million. So you just signed a guy for $72 million who on average over 4 years is going to make $18 per. And this year, he is going to take nine of your 90 away. So that's a $70 million player you just brought in, and you have $81 million more to spend in theory and in that way of doing it. So there's really no path to signing three guys and there goes $75 million unless you're signing three veteran quarterbacks who you know, you're guaranteeing a bunch of money to. Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill on G&D. What do you make of Peters sounding like he wants to be very timid in free agency?
I didn't take it as that, first and foremost. I want to say that you asked a great question when you asked him what type of free agents would he like to get. And he, you know, he was very upfront in saying that he would get all types. He'll look at the top of the list and we'll look at the dollar bin. So I take it as we'll be very smart with the money. Of course, we're not going out to spend all of our cap money. Nobody ever does that. So, I mean, I think you got to take that with a grain of salt. But I
yeah,
think
nobody
that
thinks they're going to spend 90. You know, nobody. But there's a. Are you going to be aggressive or not? And he said, "No, this won't be a spending spree. That's different." Than
there's
the
a wide range, right?
He said, "We're not going to spend all of the money."
But no, he literally. Your phone sounds terrible. I got to hang up. Thank you. But he literally said, "You're right. We're not going to spend all the money." He also said, "We will not be going on a spending spree." That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectation is that they will be. He also said that they're not going to be overly aggressive in free agency because his priority is to build through the draft.
So I'll give you an example, Shane, for you and others. I want four new offensive linemen starters. I would love four. I'd be really happy with three, and I'll settle for two. Does that make sense? So in other words, you could go that route and just say my entire free agency haul is Jonah Jackson, a guard from the Detroit Lions. Pick your best right tackle in free agency. And, you know, maybe your second round draft pick is a left tackle. Whatever you want to do, you could allocate resources that way. I don't even think they're going to do that much. So we're all going to be left going, oh, I haven't heard of this guy. Or, oh, that's not as exciting. To me, this is more about that masterful art project that right now looks like a blank canvas. That's only got a couple dots on it. That eventually they're going to put the masterpiece up and we'll go, oh, now I see. I don't think it's all going to be done right away, and that's kind of what we're used to.
Shane made a really good point about his answer. The follow-up to him saying they were not going to spend all $90 million and that they weren't going to be aggressive, that answer, I asked him, are you willing to spend at the top of the market and go get stars and win bidding wars? This is what he had to say about that.
Our job is to look at every possible avenue, every possible solution to make this team better. So we're going to look into all that. We're going to look at the top of the market. We're going to look at the dollar menu as we're talking about. But we're going to do what's best for our team in the end. So it takes a lot of different players to build a whole team. So if that's, you know, if that's shopping at the top of the market for trying to find the best player we're looking for who carries the traits we're looking for, or it's the middle of the market, or it's the guys, the role players that are the types of guys we want to bring in the building. So we'll look through all avenues and make the best decision for this organization.
Appreciate the call. Sorry, the phone just didn't sound good. Let's go to Chris in Calvert on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, it's very deflating for me to hear the general manager of my favorite team mention the dollar menu. If I'm the Commander's PR staff, I'm calling him right now saying, don't ever mention the dollar menu again. Because
well,
I just see
to be clear, I said dollar menu first, if I may.
No, he said dollar menu first. You said bargain basement DVDs. He's like, hey, man, nothing wrong with the dollar menu.
Oh, I thought I said the dollar menu.
You did the bargain basement DVD
okay.
bit.
I thought he was playing off my reference.
He was.
Though.
He was playing off the reference.
I didn't think he didn't come on the show to say, we like the dollar menu. I made a joke about the last regime pinching pennies and being annoying as hell, and he kind of played with it.
I get that, but I just don't want the bargain menu. I don't want Nick Gates. I don't want Sons of Anarchy rejects who oddly shake their heads right before they snap the ball so the defense knows when it's going to get snapped. This
incredible
is
bit,
sir.
What a bit.
First of all, yes
what
to
a
you.
Bit.
Yes to this.
But this is not baseball where it takes, you know, 5 years to replenish the farm system and try to get good again. This is the NFL where you have the number two pick in the draft. You have $90 million in free agency or, you know, in cap space. Like, you can turn it around quickly if you do it right. And that's my only thing that I'm frustrated
with. Take them to church, Chris.
Love
Let's
it.
Go. call of the day candidate. If we had something to give him, I'd give it to him. From my lips to his ears to God's shoulder? I don't know. What's the saying?
From your lips to someone's
ears. To
God's
lips to Chris's mouth.
Yep.
Yes, man. You can get better quickly in this league. I'm drafting Drake May too, and he's throwing to Schultz, and he's handing off to a 4-2 running back I got in the fifth round. But I'm also going to have a new tackle and a new guard and some talent on defense. It's okay to do that. Huff coming off one edge, Armstrong coming off another. This idea like, well, you can't really win that way. You can't win this way either. And I don't need to win next year, but at some point you got to make some splashes. I think they're going to make a couple this offseason. The tough thing is we talk a lot, you and I, about how in this country, no ticky, no laundry. What was that, the departed line?
From the departed, yeah.
In this city, people can't wrap their head around like O-line versus quarterback and value and all that because we're screwed up from the past.
Yeah.
We are victims of our situations, right, our circumstances. I kind of feel the same way about free agency a little bit. Like, free agency is a pejorative to a lot of fans in this town. They don't think about Pierre Garçon and London Fletcher and Marcus Washington, and I could go on and on. They think about Haynesworth and Mark Carrier and Deion Sanders, Jeff George, and you know all the times where Haynesworth
was so laughably bad.
Or Adam Archuleta. I promise it can be a good thing, guys. It can be. It can help. Let's go to Ellis in D.C. What's up, Ellis?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, man.
Chill hey, you had me laughing over here. I'm going to say the worst free agent we ever got was Jason Taylor from the Dolphins. This dude didn't play it down, and he was on the field a lot.
That was a trade.
A second-round pick for Jason Taylor,
but
as I recall.
But at least they gave up an unbelievable amount. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A draft
my
pick.
Goodness. He robbed us. He robbed us. So I got to agree with Danny on this one. Schultz is not a splash free agent. No to Schultz. No. I do want us to go out and get the best guard. I'm spending $20 million on whoever the best guard in the town is. And but the last caller said something that kind of tripped me out because he said he'd get rid of Gates. I thought Gates was good. What do you guys think?
They benched him. I don't think that
was because
he was good. They got better after he went to the bench. Look, he was a really nice guy. We had him on the show. He was
cool
awesome.
Dude.
He always mixed it up. He had long hair, and he tried to fight people, and he kind of looked like, you know, he always had his gut hanging
out. We're like
out
guys with an attitude, we really do.
At training camp. I like Nick Gates. Nick Gates is not the starting center of an elite offense or a team probably going deep into the playoffs is where I'm at on that.
Yeah, I like my neighbor Jerry a lot. He's a nice guy.
Do you want him to play center?
I certainly do not.
Here's where I will agree with that caller. If they prioritize the O-line heavily, and it's the anti-2023 Marty Party offseason, where they just spent, like, they don't spend any money like I want them to at edge or in the secondary or tight end, all that other stuff. They just go new guard, new center, new tackle. And they go spend, you know, top of the tier money. Those are their three big free agents.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, I have chills thinking about just having a vision and a plan for a kid quarterback.
That's all I want.
Drake May, Jaden Daniels, go enjoy the space.
When you have, and this was my point. Going back to Rivera's year one with Haskins even. If you have a neophyte quarterback, how could you do anything less than build a fortress around this person? How could it be anything but that? I couldn't believe it. The number of times we've done this exercise with young quarterbacks, right? Like, please build an incredible force around this person to give them the honest to good best chance to succeed. It just never occurred to them. It never occurred to any regime over the years going back throughout then Redskins history.
I wasn't really sure which way they were leaning on Cam Curl. After Adam Peters came on the show, I now have a pretty solid prediction I'm willing to make as to whether or not he's back. We can get into that next. 800-636-1067. How urgently should they be operating? Do you think they should really try to make major strides this offseason? Or should they just bite off, you know, little by little here over the next couple of years as they try to make a move in the NFC East? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
what we really envision with the analytics department is kind of all encompassing. You have coaching with the you have game plan, and there's also the game management with that. And then you have scouting and trying to find players and trying to find players that fit your style of play through analytics as well. And then there's another component where you can talk about health and performance and how to best train your players, how to best get them ready for the season and prevent injury and then bring them back from injury. So there's a lot of different components that Eugene and his team will have their hands in, and we're working on hiring, bringing in a few more people to make that department more robust.
That was Adam Peters on the analytics department led by Eugene Shen. Question being, is he going to be more involved with putting together a binder of information?
Yeah, AKA go for it on fourth down here, 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 and here, or this is the type of player you should draft.
Yeah, do you want the coaches to get that information and use it on Sundays, or the scouting department? And it sounds like a little bit of both, a much boosted R&D department coming in Washington, which is a welcome addition for a lot of us. I'll go to cut six, if you would, Darius. I asked him, Danny, about the idea that a lot of people thought Dan Quinn was not their first choice, and if that matters at all. And he agreed that that is certainly how a lot of people felt from what he's heard, but he just doesn't think that that's a fair assessment of their search.
Yeah, that is a perception, but that's certainly not the truth. I think within our search committee and the way we looked at it, we had a really, really, really good process, I think, and had a lot of people, really, very smart people, very experienced people helping us out with that. And so, you know, whether there was conjecture or whatever out in the media about who was the first choice, who wasn't, we were still, you know, we were committed to seeing this thing through the end before we made a decision, and to speak to every candidate and see who was the right fit for us. And in the end, Dan shown the brightest, regardless of who got hired, who, you know, whatever happened. And I can tell you, each and every day that I've been working with DQ, I'm happier and happier. It was a great choice for myself. It's a great choice for this organization. It's a great choice for the DMV. And I think everybody's going to be fired up when they see that team roll out there in September.
Peters on his hire of Dan Quinn also answered in that question, why were they the last team to make a hire? Didn't want to go back to the coaching search in great detail. Feels like a long time ago now. They're at the combine. They're sitting down and interviewing players this week. But we at least needed to address a couple of the perceptions and see where they matched with his reality.
Absolutely. I think it's one of those, hey, we got to check this box here. And he gave what I thought was a great answer about, you know, this is more about seeing their process through. Now, again, I could quibble. And if that was what we're trying to do as a cross-examination, I could say, well, it may not be what it looks like if you fell in love with somebody where you waited a long time to schedule a second interview, and anybody could have snatched him up at any point. Seven teams acted much more quickly than you guys did, and he could have responded, as he did in his answer. Yeah, we were committed to seeing the process through. We wanted to interview every single candidate, turn over every leaf, find out about us, find out about them, and really give everybody a chance to shine or fail, sink or swim, as it were, through that whole process. But, you know, again, it's one of those things that's you kind of have to do it, right? And that's where we were.
One of the things that came out of his meeting with the national media today at the Combine was a question about Cam Curl, whether or not he's going to get the franchise tag. He basically said they're not planning on using the franchise tag this year. So I followed up on that with him, Danny, and you and I got to the bottom of, is he a franchise tag guy or not? Why won't they be using it on Cam Curl, and what that means moving forward for the safety who's played so well as a former seventh-round pick here?
I think it's just that's a year-to-year decision, and depending on who you have coming free, and you know, where you value them, and so that this could be different next year. It could be the same next year. So it all depends on who you have coming up and what you can get done with a contract, or where you value them and where you're at with the contract negotiations. So I think that's a fluid situation each year.
I wonder if there's any chance that they would be more aggressive maybe in the trade market at all. You know, as it pertains to, like, you really want to shape and find a fit and go out and get impact players, but maybe you don't want to spend a ton in free agency. Could they be a team that shops around and finds value?
Absolutely.
Like a guy that Peters loved in San Fran that's a backup, a guy that Dan Quinn coached in Dallas that might not make a lot of money yet, where you could throw, I don't think you want to throw picks in the early to mid rounds, but where maybe down the road you could give something up and get young talent on the cheap. My guess is they won't do that because the picks are going to be their currency as a draft first team. But if you could do the Ernie Grunfeld, like, well, we count him as our fourth round pick. We think he's good value. Like, maybe they do that to some extent this offseason because they've got a lot of guys from different organizations. You think Lance Newmark doesn't have a good beat on deep organizations. Detroit, really good NFC title game. Dallas, really good, has been great in the division. Peters from San Francisco. You could steal a couple of the guys that might be starters for you that weren't there, and you could get them at good value maybe.
No, that's a smart point. I mean, the sort of the premise of Moneyball wasn't about on-base percentage. If you guys haven't read it, and then you obviously saw the movie, it was about the commodity or trait that's undervalued. So this happened in a million different ways, but it happened with cars for the sake of argument. It used to be used cars were the cheapest thing in the world, and that was the smartest thing that you could do. Well, cars got better, so used cars went up in price. So now if you buy a car that's a brand new in 2023, the value doesn't go down the same way that it used to. So you buy a car that's 3 years old, you're only saving like a couple of grand off the original sticker price. So you look for the value. The value might be a soft trade market, right? Where this guy probably should be worth, for the sake of argument, a third. We can get him for a fourth. That's good value. We'll put the chip down. The whole point is everyone gets the same starting set of assets, salary cap money, draft picks, and roster spots. How you divvy them up to acquire your players, you should always be sort of using your assets to build better value. So like, in other words, you spend five and get six, that's a win. You do that a bunch of times, you end up with a pretty good roster.
Let's go to Pat, who's in Alexandria on Grant and Danny. How are you, Pat?
Doing good. How are you doing, fellas?
Good.
Very well. Thanks for the call.
So I think you guys are talking about the offensive line, Danny, and I'm with you. I get the whole not investing, but I can't do a whole nother season of listening to people talk about Sam Howell getting sacked every week because the offensive line is bad. And you don't know if it's the scheme, if it's the offensive line. I think you guys had someone on early on in the season this year that talked about sack rate and sack percentage and how Sam Howell is at like the top of the list and how that's a trait that doesn't matter. It sticks with you from college into the pros.
Yeah, you're talking about I'll let you keep going here, but you're talking about pressure to sack percentage, essentially, which is more a quarterback stat. So like if you're pressured 15 times, how often do you get sacked? The quarterback's job is to help the line, get rid of the ball, throw it away, whatever. Sam Howell has been awful at that since college, and it's one of the reasons he takes a ton of sacks, to your point.
Yeah, and I remember hearing about that, and I'm a statistician, so I started looking into that. Drake May isn't too far off from that. So if we're going to go get someone like Drake May, he's not as bad as Howell in terms of sack percentage, but in his second year, he had 40 sacks. He was sacked 40 times based off of like 500 dropbacks. He got better this season. But if you go back and look at, like, I know he's a big case, Peyton Manning. His first 2 years, he was sacked 22 times, and the second year, 14 times. If you go look at Indianapolis back then, they invested heavy into their offensive line when they drafted the rookie. So if they're going to draft a rookie with the second pick, I really hope they're going to spend money so that you can actually evaluate him to know if you're going to pay him that big money at the end, where you might be able to surround him with some lower-cost offensive line when he's in his fifth year and he's making that big deal.
Appreciate it.
No, it's smart, bud. Thanks.
Just to give some numbers, Sam Howell's pressure to sack percentage in college, I think, was around 25%. Drake Mays was 18 and change, if memory serves. That's a huge difference, statistically speaking. I wouldn't say they're comparable in that regard. The other point I would make, though, is if you're looking at this year's draft class, the guy that's actually most similar to Sam Howell that we're talking about is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, 24%. Howell's was 27% as I'm looking at it in front of me right now. Jaden Daniels, about the same. A couple percentage points is large, but you get what I'm saying. Pressure to sack percentage collegiately as Sam Howell. Drake Mays looks like 18-plus percent. So if you round him up to 19, Daniels 24, Howell 27. But I'd say that's a huge difference between 19%, 27%. As far as how often you turn pressures into sacks collegiately, just to clean up some of the numbers there. Vince is in Akakeek. What's up, Vince?
What's good, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I actually been wanting to have a conversation with y'all for about 2 or 3 weeks, just about free agency, period. So let me pitch to y'all my thought process. what if we just looked at free agency totally different? And my reason behind that is you stockpile all these draft picks, hopefully they all hit, and then you got to pay them all. And then they say, well, now we got to make a decision because we can't afford to pay everybody. With me, for this year, not feeling like the free agents are the next Leonard Fletchers or Marcus Washingtons or, you know, whoever is a guy who can come in and make an immediate impact for a long time. It's a couple of splash guys, and the guys who I think that we might could want to get probably are not really leaving their team. I'm saying stock the cap money. So then when all the draft picks do hit, we can keep our dynasty that we've built through the draft because cap is not a problem no more.
So here's the one clarification on that, which prevents you from doing that. At some point, I appreciate the call, you've got to have a salary floor. There's a minimum that you have to spend. And we're actually trying to nail down what those numbers exactly
89% are. 89% of money every 4 years that you're allotted.
So in other words, you can't just bide your point. His strategy is bide your time for 3 years, spend nothing on the cap, and then when all these guys become free agents, you just keep them together. There are mechanisms to prevent that, from you kind of tanking for extended periods of time,
right,
hoarding players, and then, you know, paying, you know, overpaying to kind of keep them all.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, so if this year's cap's 255, next year's is 265, the year after that's 275, hypothetically, that is, you're talking about like $795 million of salary cap space. And of that $795 million, over those 3 years, you need to spend like $620 million against your salary cap, is the way that it works. You also can't roll over every dollar. It's like write-offs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if you just don't spend $70 million this year, to my knowledge, you don't just get to roll over the $70 million next year. There's a way that you can roll over money, but it's not dollar for dollar in that same way. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you guys know who helped coach Drake May in high school when he was a high school quarterback? I'm going to give you that answer next. I think people will be interested to hear, because I had forgotten this for a couple of years and bumped into the information again last night and made me just feel even better about the coaching he's been getting for a long time. We could discuss that, plus some of the other big storylines out of the NFL Combine today, where Dan Quinn also just recently spoke to the media. We'll tell you what he said on The Fan next. G&D on The Fan, taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Caps power play, top of the hour. Danny, put the way back hat on for a moment.
Put it backwards like DQ, the presser.
Do you remember when a few years ago, Josh McCown, the backup quarterback at the time, I think with Philadelphia,
okay,
would like leave the team on Fridays so he could go back and coach a high school football team while he was in the NFL?
I do now, yeah.
Drake May was the starting quarterback on that high school
team. Is that right?
Yeah. So Josh McCown would go back and coach up his kid. Maybe it was kids, plural, I'm not sure. But the starting quarterback on that team, who he worked with pretty closely, hand in hand constantly, as the quarterback's whisperer for that team as an NFL quarterback, Drake May. So he was getting
that
instruction
cool
in high school, then went to North Carolina. I saw a video last night of May sitting down with Colt McCoy. And I posted this video. You're going to have to scroll back through some tweets with some quotes from Adam Peters from today at Grant H. Paulson. But it's worth it. There was a great video. It's like 12 minutes long. It's Drake May going over a film breakdown of a 400-yard, four-touchdown game he had against Syracuse with Colt McCoy. And McCoy is going through some things he likes, doesn't like, whatever. But Drake May is basically scouting himself. And I came away really impressed. Very, very smart. Talked about a few plays, like why he got out of a look or why he changed something.
I mean, that stuff to me is like a drug.
I totally
it's incredible.
Agree. But like Colt McCoy's like, I love this here. Why'd you bail out here? He's like, oh, well, I knew they had a free rusher. He's like, you see the empty look here. And he's like, yeah, I knew they were empty, so I had to account for that guy. But it's just real high-level football acumen stuff that you can just tell when he gets on a whiteboard, he'll blow people away. And Jaden Daniels may well be the same way. I haven't seen the video because I don't know that he did the thing with Colt McCoy yet. But it's the kind of stuff that I care a lot about. Dan Quinn was asked today, as a matter of fact, like, what are your quarterback must-haves? How do you know if a guy's going to be a really good quarterback? And at the Combine, he said, traits he looks for: mental toughness, accuracy on the deep ball, and the ability to create off schedule. Last thing he wants out of a quarterback: get me out of bad plays. And I think that's kind of that mastery level stuff.
Yeah.
But go back, watch the video. May's got a little bit of a personality for a young guy kind of sitting next to someone he grew up admiring. But mostly he just comes off, I thought, as a pretty sharp kid talking ball. And he goes through, this is the concept here. This is what we're looking for. He asks a couple questions to McCoy where he goes, hey, when you get this look and the DB's doing this, what do you normally do? I came away thinking, okay, this guy can talk it. He can't. It's not just like he's out there freestyling. So that was good to see.
That is neat.
I used to love watching the Gruden quarterback camp thing for the same reason.
Yeah, a lot of you get past the Gruden shtick, which was heavy. I mean, that's thumb on the scale right there. But even still, it was always really good and instructive because you'd find the good, you'd find the bad. You know, like obviously that's where we got Spider 2Y Banana from, where he's grilling Andrew Luck, the best quarterback prospect. You know,
God, you're
in
missing
decades.
A really good chance to do a Gruden here. What are you doing? You're just talking about it over. I mean, give me the Gruden for
who's
God's
open
sake.
Every time on Spider 2Y Banana, man? Who's open? The fullback's open. And why didn't you take the fullback, man?
What about
this backside comeback here. It's intercepted. Now you got to chase him down.
What about Gruden with Mahomes?
You're at Texas Tech, man. This is 7,000 pass attempts, man. When are you going to hand the ball off?
I think, you know, right now, obviously, Coach Cliff, he don't want to hand the ball off much. His air raid is Mike Leach. I'm a disciple of his. And every time you hand it off, that's a chance you could have thrown. And for me, I wanted 20,000 yards. And for real, dog, I'm like that. Talk to Coach Trav and Andy Reid and everybody. I wanted to throw for 75 touchdowns my 1 year Texas Tech. We almost did that in the Big 12, but nobody plays no defense.
Not bad. Let's go to Mark, who's in Fredericksburg. Mark, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to chime in. Everybody's excited about the second pick. I think the way to go is with Drake May. The other two guys, Southern Cal and LSU, they're fast because the people on the field are not as fast as the guys are going to meet in the NFL. I mean, they will not run away from cornerbacks like they do in college. And the next thing they're going to do, offensive linemen, and then more offensive linemen. If you listen to what Gruden says and you listen to what Schlereth says on your programs, Gruden always talks about, well, they talk about Baltimore, they talk about Lamar because they got great guards. They got all their guards are good. They talk about the kids in Green Bay. Oh, he's got a great tackle and a great center. They always refer to the offensive line. They don't always hang with the quarterback. They always bring up the receivers. They always talk offensive line. And I know it's old school. I know it's a different situation altogether, but look at the offensive lines of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be a good team without a good line. Now, you could say that about a few different positions, but there's no doubt having a really good offensive line is important. Caleb Williams isn't really a runner. He can run. He's a creator. He makes plays.
He's more playmaker than
scrambler,
runner.
I'd say.
Whereas Jaden Daniels can run.
Jaden Daniels is here to chew bubble gum and make some plays with his feet.
Yeah.
He can throw too, by the way.
Yeah.
JaVale and Culpepper, what's up?
Hey, Grant and Danny, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
Good, man. What do you got? We got about a minute here at the end of the hour.
All right, no problem. Thank you. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I brought up the situation with you guys about Kirk Cousins. And earlier today, the Junkies had a segment about that as well. And I spoke of if you could spend 13 to 14 million, 13 to 14% of your cap, that would be the best option for this team to win now. Like, and with the salary cap going up as it has more than people thought that it was, we have to keep an open mind. And I actually heard Peters in an interview today reference Kirk Cousins and say, hey, well, Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback. Okay. When Kirk called you guys to, wish you well on your anniversary, he said, hey, maybe I'll boomerang back and finish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think anything is out of possibility, because if you can sign Kirk to a 3 or 4 year deal and $100-$120 million deal, if we could go to the Super Bowl and possibly win it, it'll be worth it. Because over the next 3 or 4 years, more than likely, if you look at probability of statistics and the numbers, he's probably going to be better than any of the three quarterbacks: Daniels, May, Williams. And if you could take that number 2 pick
and take Marvin Harrison and pair him with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, or you trade back to 7, 8, 9, 10 and garner more picks, that will be great because the free agency class this year is dynamic. You can fix linebacker with Devin White.
JaVale, you know,
we got to jump, buddy. Thank you.
We got to jump. You're cooking, and I appreciate you. It's a good call. As we said when you brought this up originally, I think that's a great idea if you want to go that route. The premise, though, is 13% of the cap. Quarterbacks make more than 13% of the cap now. That number's climbing to 16, 17%. That would be on this cap a $33 million number. That's about $10 million less probably than what Mike McCartney and Kirk Cousins
than what it would take.
Want. Now, if he's willing to come here for $33 million a year, they might be interested. That's a good bargain. That's a good discount. But presumably, even off of the Achilles, you know, he's going to Minnesota going, I want 2 years, $90 million fully guaranteed at 45. Maybe they negotiate that down a little bit. But that's kind of the biggest problem with the theory. I did ask Peters, and you'll hear it when we play it in a few minutes. Next segment, we can let you hear this. But I asked him, what about a veteran quarterback? Is that an option? You'll hear what he had to say. Next, our Caps power play as well. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.